Thank God for the word that we heard today, to be zealous for the Lord. When I look back my life, I came here as a young man, as Brother Suresh mentioned, zealous. And I realized that after some time that many of the zeal was even misdirected. I needed to have the right zeal, as some of those things Brother Santosh pointed out, Santosh Puran pointed out, the zeal for repentance. So I can also, I would like to read a verse from 2 Corinthians 11, so where Paul is saying, 11, 2 and 3, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." So, Paul had a zeal for the Corinthian Christians that they will have a zealous devotion to Christ. So they were cooling off in their devotion to Christ, and his zeal for them was that they should have a zeal in their devotion. So when I also look back, see, there was a zeal in doing things, zeal in so many other things, but zeal for devotion, a zeal in being devoted to Jesus, a zeal in repenting consistently, a zeal in humbling myself consistently. Sometimes some of us are zealous in giving up something, giving money, but a zeal in giving myself, giving up myself, my rights, my goals, my desires, my plans, or being zealous in denying myself, taking up the cross daily. So that's the right zeal, which will in turn lead us to be zealous in good works, zealous to strengthen the brethren. So that's what Jesus told Peter also, that when you come back, you will strengthen the brothers. So I want to briefly mention a few things from the life of Peter. We all identify very much with Peter, because we feel that Peter is very much like us. And in terms of zeal also, Peter is very zealous. So maybe we can think a few things from Peter. First, let's look at Luke 5, where Peter says, you know the context there, that Peter was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The disciples, Peter didn't, he was fishing, he didn't get anything, and then they saw a miracle, their boat being filled up, and then Peter was convicted of his sin, and at the end he and a few other disciples, they say, verse 11, they left everything and followed him. What a zealous response to the love of God. He saw God's love, God's amazing provision, God is reaching out to him, and then zealously he left everything and followed him. But when we look at the life of Peter after that, till we see in John 21 about how Jesus interacted with Peter. So if we look at the biography or the life of Peter, and if we look at our own lives, we can see the question that Jesus is going to ask us, Jesus continually asks us, did you really leave everything? What did you leave? Peter left everything and followed him. Peter left his fish. Peter left his boat. Peter left some of the initial, we know some of the conditions of discipleship. Like Matthew 10:37, we read, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So Peter, or many other disciples, some of us here, we were zealous. during our time initially when we repented, some of us from Hindu background, some from Catholic background, some from other traditional Christian background. So there was a radical stand and a zealous repentance. And no, my relatives, no, they are not most important. Jesus is most important. Left everything. In that sense, that condition, yes, we took zealously. Then Luke 14:33, it says, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. There is all these areas. There is a much tremendous growth. We all need to move forward. But still, some of us, when we look, giving up something, facing some loss, facing maybe some monetary loss, or during COVID times, we've gone through so much of problems, losing a job, losing loved ones. Even in the midst of that, Lord, I still want to love you. I want to follow you. Yeah, we were able to, we need to grow, but to some extent we were able to do that also. But again, then the third condition of discipleship says, Mark 16:24, then Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So you should love me more than your relatives. You should love me more than your possessions. And then you should love me more than yourself. You should love me more than yourself. So there, so in the life of Peter, if you look at his life, if you look at his life closely, he left everything. He left many of these things. The first condition of discipleship, the second condition of discipleship, many of these things he left. But we move forward in his life, you see he was holding on. He was wrapped around himself. He was wrapped around himself. Me, my thoughts, my plans, my ideas, he was wrapped around that. Yeah. So what really needed was a zeal in denying myself, in taking up my cross and following Jesus. So look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16 is a wonderful chapter where Peter was appreciated by Jesus. So he got the revelation that, and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, I also say to you that you are Petros. You are the small rock piece, and upon this rock, Petra, Christ, I will build, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And then a lot of encouraging words by Jesus. I'll give you the keys and all that. And then immediately after that, you see when Jesus is talking about the suffering he's going to go through, and Peter, verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Now, he had left everything, but he had other ambitions and goals. Maybe Jesus now will become a king, and then I want to be, James and John wanted to be on the right and the left. Maybe he wanted to be in front, or I don't know, back or somewhere very close. So he had his own plans, and he had his own agenda. And then Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on Christ's interest, but man's interest. You're setting your mind on your interest. You're setting your mind on your interest. That is paramount. That is important to you now. And then it is there in this context that Jesus says, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Are you willing to lose your life? Are you willing to give up your life? Are you willing to love me more than you love yourself? That was the question that Jesus was asking Peter. Then in look at Matthew 19. There, is in the context of the rich young ruler. There again, Jesus says it is it's extremely difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, and he talks all that. Then Peter immediately thought, yes, we left everything. So he's asking Jesus, 27. Then Peter said to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. We have left everything and followed you. But the remaining part of that verse says, what then will be there for us? What then? I have left everything. You know, it's a paradox. The question, one part, I have left everything. And then he's asking, but what will I get? What will I have? So left many things, but not yet. I've not left me, myself. What I want, what my goals, my ambitions, my plans, my ideas. Yeah. And Luke 22. Again, Peter. There, Jesus is telling him, verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. It is in the context where Peter says, I will not deny you, and all that. So he had his own self strength that that we can see also in where he says, even if everyone leaves you, I will not leave you. All that in a self strength, he had many of those decisions. But then Jesus wanted to really work in him, and he said, I'm going to allow you to be sifted, but then once you turn again, once you zealously repent, once you zealously turn again. And he did that. So he repented. No, we know that he repented in tears, and he came back, and how God changed the life of Peter. That's an amazing example for all of us. And finally, in we also see about Peter in Matthew 26. You know all that, how he said that he will not deny, and then he denied, and then he wept in tears. And now in John 21, we see Jesus is asking him three times, Peter, you know the context in John 21, so from verse 15 onwards, and Jesus is asking him, do you love me more than these? Do you deeply love me? That's the actual word. Do you deeply love me more than these? More than these means what? More than maybe these people, more than your relatives, more than the fish, more than the boat. Do you love me more than these? He says, yes, Jesus, I think I love you. Again, Jesus asks, do you deeply love me? Again, I love you. And then Jesus specifically asks him, do you love me? Do you love me? Or do you love me more than yourself? Do you love me more than yourself? And he says, Lord, you know all things. Lord, you know all things. And then this is a point where I'm tremendously encouraged. Verse 18, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. You gave up everything, many other things, but you didn't give up your self-will. You didn't yield yourself. You girded yourself. You went to wherever you wished. But now, when you are growing old, when you are growing in grace, when you are having the right zeal, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you. And someone else will gird you. The Holy Spirit will gird you. Lord Jesus will guide you and bring you where you do not wish to go. where you do not wish to go. That's a place where God wants to take us to. Romans 8:28 is this particular verse which we often hear in CFC churches. We are encouraged much. It's a wonderful promise, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those who, we know that it is that particular verse. God causes all things to work together for good, and we know in other churches people may not know it fully, but we know that good is that we can become more like Jesus through various circumstances that we go through, that God can make us more like Jesus. And but in this verse, there are also two conditions. It says, it's one condition actually. So it says, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We are called, all of us sitting here are called by God. He has called us. He has shown us love like He called Peter. His love reached out to our hearts. He called us with a purpose that He has done. But there is also the other part. Those who love God. Those who love God. So we have had a lot of circumstances, situations we all have gone through. At the end of it, can we say, like in Psalm 66, now all the difficulties that I've gone through, now it has brought me to a place of Reviah, a place of abundance. All the darkness that I've gone through, it has brought me to a place where my cup runs over, as in Psalm 23. Many times it does not happen. Many times it does not happen. And that the reason is that I love myself. So many other things we have left, but I still hold on to myself without having a zeal to yield myself, without a zeal to give up my rights, without a zeal, maybe when we are corrected by others, a zeal to submit, zeal to yield. And that is what is preventing us from sometimes this beautiful promise from becoming a reality. And let's really be zealous in repentance, zealous in going down, zealous in going the narrow way, zealous in denying ourselves, zealous in loving God more than we love ourselves, so that all things will work together for the ultimate good of us being transformed to His image in our life. May God bless us all.